T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam podcast, brought to you by Les Schwab Tire Centers. It'll be the best 45 minutes of your life, I promise. Doing the right thing since 1952.
Well, good morning, Portland. It's just about time to get your day started right here with Dusty and Cam. On 10 a.m. FM. We'll get up and get started. It's time for Dusty and Cam. Just around 6, shower, shave, and coffee. It's time to get that sports fix. Bring your case or the Mondays, then there's would you rather, just a little bit of awkward. So tune in live today. It's Dusty and Cam.
Which one's crusty and which one's dusty?
My sports package is huge now.
Where are you at, brother?
Hornswoggled, befuddled.
I'm ready to crush your dreams in the morning.
Lighten up, Cam.
You don't even have a barn.
Would have built one just for you.
You'll love your dog.
I love you.
It's time for Dusty and Cam.
We've got to bifurcate those two things.
Good morning, happy Wednesday to you. It is the 8th of April, 2020. Dusty here, Cam Cleland with you. Good morning, Mr. Cleland.
Hey, what's up?
How you doing?
Good. I just saw that Thomas Edward Brady, who sat in with the man, my favorite radio host of all time.
Howard.
My phone is sorts of noise. We got things making noise.
Are you okay over there?
No, he's good. I got to shut off a few things. There we go.
Good. Yeah, Howard
Speakers
Stern.
Speakers and controls. He got Tom Brady.
Yeah.
And Tom Brady swore on his show.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he said the word S.
Oh, Tom.
I think that's why you go on with Sirius and you go do that, because you can let your true feelings come out. More PC.
F yeah, bro. Apparently he's been on there for an hour.
Yeah. It's riveting. I can't wait.
That's a long time.
I'm gonna go watch it. I think they were doing stuff for free, if I remember correctly. Howard was letting a few people listen for. I don't know how it works nowadays. There's a few things that are free, and other things that are not.
Mm. I've been taking Twitter notes on this. I think that he said some things that are interesting and worthy of talking about.
Yeah.
You know, but now's not the time.
It's always the time.
Now is the
time. He and Giselle were on Instagram last night thanking everybody.
Oh, what's that? Speaking of Instagram, Jay Cutler and his wife and family stuck in the Bahamas. Feel so bad for them.
Well, at some point in time, you got to get tired of the sun and the beach.
Jay Cutler, is he becoming more likable post-career?
Oh, he's living the great life.
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah, what is this? What's the name of that show? Being Cavallari? Keeping Cavallari?
Very Cavallari.
Very.
Never seen it.
It was very close
Only
to that.
Only seen clips of it.
I've seen a lot of clips in one episode.
I've seen many episodes.
But
purpose?
Wait, really?
Yes, my wife watches it.
Oh, okay. And is it, how would you grade it? Scale of 1 to 10.
So I generally am not a huge reality TV fan, but considering Jay's nature and seeming like he doesn't really love the whole reality TV idea... It's pretty entertaining.
Yeah.
The way he tells his wife how to run her business and how he kind of just does things around the homestead that are, I mean, the guy's just bored all the time.
Do they call it a homestead or is it
Oh,
just,
no, that's me calling it
oh,
a homestead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, I wasn't sure.
I don't think they do. I'm not sure.
There kind of seems like, from clips in the one episode I saw, Jay Cutler misunderstood in his public persona.
No, like not misunderstood.
Well, this is the kind of the deal, though, is that on the show, like, he's always come off as aloof. And on the show, he's more just like...
He's more likable aloof as opposed to... I think he had the label in the NFL, like, this guy is kind of a douche and no one likes him. Mm-hmm. He seems more likable in this show.
Okay. But there are some, like... bad stories of Jay Cutler, especially young.
Well,
young
not everybody
in his, young in his career.
Yeah, not everybody kind disliked of him. Not everybody did. I mean, you can't make everybody happy. I think it was more
Bears
just the
Broncos
way he
fans,
carried
dude.
Himself, the way he carries himself on the sideline. The smoking Jay. Just it's his demeanor. It really is his personality. He's got some straight bro, some big time bro, frat boy bro. That are brutal stories, but that's just who he was. But does it make him a bad guy? No, because some people like it, some people don't.
Well, but your public persona is kind of how people will judge you, and that's kind of what I'm talking about. His aloof nature just made it seem like, Jay Cutler doesn't care about anything in his life. Well, he does. Yeah. He's an interesting guy, and he's more normal than what people think. I think that's for a lot of these professional athletes.
After I've been watching and doing a little bit more of the deep dive into some of the Twitter sphere, you know, the cesspool. I call it cesspool. Mm-hmm. It's a garbage dump is really what it is. Instagram gives me a little bit more uplifting movements. We're at the stage right now, I think, with this pandemic. Not just that it's a serious thing, because it is very serious. We're at the stage of everybody's getting tired of each other. The salt is starting to come out. Oh yeah, from Kevin Garnett calling out the owner, saying of the Minnesota Timberwolves who want to retire everybody, the salt's starting to come out. Tom Brady's going to start telling more stories. Now that you're sitting in there for a while, the stories, you can't just kind of hide behind sports and be distracted. It's now spending time with people very long time. They're starting to be the claws. They're starting to dig in a little bit. And I'm saying this from the celebrity perspective. I don't know about all of you out there and what you're doing with your families or as you're isolating and self-quarantining, but you can just see it. You can just see it starting to seed in a little bit.
So you're saying stay at home is the orders are why Kevin Garnett called Glenn Taylor a snake MF-er.
Yeah.
The owner of the Timberwolves.
Yeah, stay at home. He's got more time to
I think that's just more Kevin Garnett being Kevin Garnett. He's finally in the Hall of Fame, and he's like, you know what? Screw that guy.
Yeah, but the stories are now starting to dig out of would this be a story or wouldn't be a story. But they're just looking for any writer's looking for something to put into print.
Well, and that's...
And so every little, small little thing, it's like, boom, there it is.
That's my... I think that kind of leads to... there's less to write about of actual sports happening and all of the writers in radio people like us, our time was always spent on, hey, I'm going to go and I'm going to look into what's going on the field, or, you know, OTAs would be coming up after the draft and, you know, free agency would be looking. Now it's like, hey, all right, let's get the personal stories out there. And they're more just speaking up because they're asked more of those questions. Do you think that they would answer those questions? And I guess I gather what you're saying is that they wouldn't even answer those questions if there was more sports going on.
No, not at all. And writers wouldn't write the stuff because they're the ones stuck in there too. And they're stuck on their computers and their bosses are going, give me content. And then your editor's saying, I need something. What do you need something? Ask the hard questions. Ooh. So all these things are, I mean, just the celebrity stabs that are going out. It's a really good soap opera. In a sense.
55305, that is the fan text line. We've got sports today. Best fictional sports movie of the 2000s. You threw down the challenge yesterday of saying that there were no good ones.
Which, by the way, was very difficult.
I spent probably far much more time on this than I should have.
Whoa.
What?
Sorry.
What?
Atlanta just dropped.
Yeah, I know. I have that. But
too bad.
We'll
I
get to that.
sorry.
Look.
It just dropped. There's no order. Stop with the orders anymore. We can't always be in order here.
Best fictional. What?
We can't always be in order. Sometimes, you know what? There's a fly on the wall and that spider just dropped in my. Oh, see? It's right there.
Yeah. But best fictional sports movies will be discussed in the 2000s. Get to them. send him yours at 55. Send us yours at 55305. That is the fan text line.
They look really good.
Now, the Falcons uniforms.
Falcons and Bucks. Bucks dropped yesterday.
Yeah, Bucks. We knew what the Bucks were. They're just basically their 1998 uniforms.
Yeah, but they went all whites, which look really fantastic.
They do. They look good, and they can mix and match. But then
so does Atlanta.
The Falcons were supposed to drop theirs next Tuesday, but they were leaked, so they just said, ah, screw it, we're going to do it today.
ATL!
It just says ATL across the chest.
They look really good.
I don't know.
Really good.
Because Blazer, like
they have red,
ones.
Black. Red, black, and white. You can't go wrong with these colors.
I don't like the, well, I am not a fan of the red jerseys.
Yeah.
They're gradient.
Yeah.
They go from red on top, and then by the bottom of the jersey, they're black. Have you noticed that?
I love the racing stripes. I think they look. I think great.
The stripes
red,
up
and
the
black
side
are
look
such
fantastic.
A great combination.
White, black, and then their throwback.
Such a good combination.
And they're going with like satin black paint job on the helmets. And
that looks really good.
And like a silver face mask on the new uniforms.
I love the pewter of what Tampa did.
Yeah,
that
looks
was
good.
That was off the chain. The all whites too. And then
oh,
again,
off the chain.
Off the chain. And then Atlanta. And then Atlanta did all whites also.
Mm-hmm.
The ATL.
All whites are great.
I came out. You know, the ATL.
For skinny guys.
I appreciate that.
Really?
I really do.
I think it's
a little bit, it's not just risky, but it's something to be like, when you say Atlanta, if you're from the South, yeah. You say I'm from the ATL.
Very
you don't
regional.
Say Atlanta.
Very regional connection to those to those folks down there.
And I like it.
Yeah, it kind of looks like they're going a little NBA uniform on it, though. You know, like NBA, they'll go ATL or ORL, remember those Orlando ones?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's the city edition uniforms.
Doesn't Phoenix go PHX?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Don't they?
I don't know. Whatever
do we,
their city edition
don't
is.
We
ha,
don't we have, we need to
Rip
put
city.
In PDX. I know.
Nah, it's
I know.
Rip City, bro.
No, don't PDX.
That's the city edition. But yeah, the Falcons look good. Yeah, and you're right. Red and black. Are you going to go wrong?
Can't.
You're gonna go wrong?
You can't mess it up.
Can't go wrong. Can't go wrong with red and black.
No.
I do like the stripes down the side. And how about this for their stripes? The white uniform stripes down the side are different than the black uniform stripes
like
down
it.
The side.
I like it a lot.
They have far different looks with each three of their, or I guess four of their sets at the
Matt
have.
Ryan it's looks good. All svelte and sharp.
Tom Brady's going to look weird in that Buccaneers uniform, though. Yeah. I saw like the uniform and I went,
that look weird.
Huh.
That's natural, though.
Ooh.
It's going to take time.
The Falcons have red pants, too.
I'm looking at every different combination right now. I haven't seen the red pants combination, but I'll keep scanning
yeah,
up there. But,
they've got a
but no. But as you guys were hoping for, I think
on.
Both of you were hoping for the
wow.
red helmet, which you'll probably get an alternate helmet because the NFL is allowing that soon.
Yeah. I'm excited for the alternate helmet development for everybody.
If you could pick Love a 49ers it. Alternate helmet, what would you pick?
See, that's a great question. I feel like I
would
don't
you,
know.
Would you go white?
I don't know.
You wouldn't go black.
Well,
that's a really tough question.
If they're
going
to keep that black uniform, the black uniform that they had would look good if it had a black helmet with it, but it just looked odd with the gold one.
I could see red or white working with those kind
red.
Of those
I think that
throwback
yes.
looks that they have.
I think the red, I think you're on
red
it,
would
Buck.
Look good.
Because I will say that like when they wear those throwbacks that they wore in the 94 Super Bowl or the 95 Super Bowl, 94 season, the gold looks a little bit out of place on the helmet. So so it has to be black,
shadow.
White, or red. One of the
white
three.
Would look good with that, you know, with the drop shadow uniform because you could have the red logo on the side and
not a huge white helmet person.
Why?
I think Penn State's the only one that really pulls it off.
You don't
well.
Like Texas's?
I don't like Texas's uniforms.
Oh,
I don't.
Texas
you don't
has
like the burnt orange
uniforms.
Though, right?
I don't like the burnt orange. I think Texas does. I like with the, when they don't go all white, I like the burnt orange jersey top. I think that looks better than the all whites.
Bills helmets look way better white.
Well, predominant white. If we're talking predominant, like the base color, predominant white. But there's a lot of stuff on the Bills that kind of just covers up the white. Yeah, but if you go Penn State, like Penn State, well, yeah, there's a lot of colors on there.
Well, yeah, you'd have a decal on the 49ers one.
But Penn State, as I said, is that really is the, that's the end all see all when I think of white helmets.
It's just a white helmet with a stripe down it.
Right, right. It's just plain, simple. That's the only one that I kind of go, all right, they pulled it off. You know, I've seen some whites out there. It's like, nah, I just, white makes you look bigger. You know, like that. Offensive linemen, guys like that. We didn't like the all white uniforms. Never did.
Well, they're not going to like their Falcons uniforms. I'll tell you that much right now. Those are not going to look good on them.
But they do look good.
The big fellas.
Yeah, the big fellas won't big like fellas it. Are but the guys that are in whites. Shape, they like it. They look good.
Oh, absolutely. All right, that's uniform talk. Also on today's show, CJ estimates that a third of NBA players live paycheck to paycheck. This How does that happen?
Such a bad take. It's such a bad take.
Is it a take?
Yeah, I think it's a take. I don't, again, this is part of your quarantining. You're really going to come out and talk about, yeah. I mean, I guess I understand what he was trying to say, but this is, there's not going to be a lot of relation to it.
We've got the audio of it, and maybe explain how that happens. With NBA players. Sure. CJ does a little good job of it, but I'd love to pick your brain.
No, I'd love to hear what CJ says.
Well, half of the guys, what's the stat? 75% of professional athletes go broke after their
Well,
for
I know
five
the NFL,
years?
The NFL is right at 70% is broke, and if you have a relationship, you either broke up or divorced. Yeah, by the time you retire.
That's an interesting stat, and how that happens is fascinating. Plus, Pac-12 over-unders were released by Caesars. The favorites in the conference and teams scrapping for a bowl game. Pac-12 North could be interesting if Caesars is correct, because you could have a lot of teams just scratching and clawing to get into bowl games this year. So a lot to get to on this, what, COVID day 5 billion right now. But we have something to celebrate today in sports. Oh, maybe. Oh, there it is.
I remember it was just like yesterday.
On this day in sports history, 2001, Tiger Woods completes the Tiger Slam with a Masters win.
Yeah, he did.
Tiger Slam. He did it.
So was 2001, was that the insane record-breaking Masters?
No, 98 no, was his.
98, that's right.
Was okay, his okay. biggest one. Not, I'm sorry, not 98. That was Mark O'Meara. 96 was Tiger's huge discrepancy.
What did he win by, like?
Yeah, I think it was 12 shots
yeah,
or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then the U.S. Open also, he obliterated everybody in the 2000 U.S. Open. It was crazy. They had to change the golf course at Augusta for that one tournament in 1996.
Tiger proofing.
Yes, yeah. You know, they
Became
tried.
A thing.
Mark O'Meara won it in 98.
Mm-hmm. All right, 55305, the fan text line. Something we can all relate to was posted on CNN last night by author Jeff Perlman. Hope. Dusty and Cam on the fan. All right, 55305, a fan text line. Get your best sports movies of the 2000s in there. Fictional sports movies. We've got qualifiers in this. Cannot be real. Send them to us. Would like to know. It's a tough thing to do. A lot of people are... We were talking Falcons jerseys in their new uniforms that they had. A lot of people now are just putting out pictures of, like, FUBU jerseys and Mean Machine from the remake with Adam Sandler uniforms. I don't think so. I think these are good-looking uniforms. But, again, everybody's going to have a negative reaction to any new uniform just because it's new.
It's shocking.
New. I like them.
Woke culture?
I like them.
Woke it up.
They're woke
you
on uniforms.
You can't screw up red, black, and you can't screw up red and black. It's impossible. Can't. Mm. Can't do it. And throw white in there and some nice gradient and some gray. Looks great.
I don't know. The gradient
this
is
coming
from,
have
to grow
from, on I know, but that is the best combination. I love that. I mean, Portland Trail Blazers to me have the best uniforms in all of the NBA, but that is slightly biased because I love these color combination.
Yeah.
You can't mess it up.
Mm. Well, you'd love my alma mater, Southern Oregon University. Red, black, and white, baby.
Yeah.
There's a lot that's been going on in the world, and especially in our sports world, where there's not a lot of positivity being thrown around there. And Jeff Perlman, who's an author, he has a book out, Football for a Buck. It's about the USFL and the rise and fall of the USFL and how they were doomed to compete with the NFL. It's a good read, but he had a piece on CNN that you passed along last night that I thought was interesting, and it was good because he kind of outlined how much he needed sports, and it's not for just like the entertainment value. He put something in perspective where it's like there's hope with sports, and how excited he was yesterday with the hope of Major League Baseball returning to Arizona. I think it's fascinating read, and it kind of changes a view and perspective of the way we've been looking at it.
I look at his hope, or I look at positivity. You're trying to find that needle every day that gives you, because it's so much. I try to stay off as much as possible all the news outlets because it's just so doomy. And that's just the choice of, it's kind of like when you watch a game with a bad announcer crew. Eventually you just turn it off because it's distracting you from what the real things that we're trying to do here is make it through each day with some sort of positivity. And everyone's dealing with things differently. When we talk about is sports and why you're craving it, and it's a really good article because it talks about why we're craving that distraction, or in a way that doesn't say that sports are more important than humanity, because that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about as a group, as us, to have that connection of why you miss it so much. I mean, I could make a list of things of what, at the beginning of this, it was more along the lines of family's more important, which it is. Career, there's things that you'd want to rank of how your priorities are. But then you start to go, man, sports just really, it connected things, friends, trips, colleagues, alma mater, high school, everything, youth programs. You're like, you see friends all the time mm-hmm. with that connection of athletics. You don't see that anymore. So that's why you miss sports, because of the connections.
Yeah, and there's that connection, be it with your favorite player, connection with mm-hmm. a memory growing up. It could be like, you know, playing catch with your dad, or a little league game. When you're watching a big league game and a scenario happens or something happens, you can relate it back. And then the connection with your hometown teams, you know, like and that's the thing, is like teams in sports bring us so much pain and joy at the same time. It's amazing what sports can do. And that's that kind of hope every year, you know, with the exception of only a few teams, it's like, hey, this could be our year. And what your year is may not be, you know, championships, but mm-hmm. it may be our year that we turn a corner and we get closer. And there's that hope that is kind of missing in the sports world that I gleaned out of Perlman's article without him even having to write it.
Yeah, I did. It took a big positive spin. And it was excellent, because right before I read that article and really kind of just settled into it, I read five other articles by 10, 15, everybody doomsday. I can't believe Major League Baseball is going to go do and risk the lives of millions of people. I can't believe basketball and the NFL and college football. And we'll talk about Mike Gundy later, too. Mike Gundy said, it's just there's this horde of negativity.
But you know what?
Horde of it.
I've got a couple other audio clips from Mike Gundy. Mike Gundy is getting just raked through the polls.
And unfairly, I think. Because those clips are cut pretty specifically and swayed. He doesn't say all.
No.
He said some really good things there.
No, he did. He said a lot of good things, but he's getting raked through the polls for one of his comments.
Yes.
That, in all honesty, it could ruin the amateur model in sports. If I'm one of those lawyers who's sitting there and trying to get athletes paid.
Oh, yeah.
He may have ruined it.
Yeah.
Because of what he said.
Yeah.
And that's what he's getting trashed for. But he also said a lot of responsible things. He said a lot of responsible things that were in there. And I have a couple of those clips as well. But and I think both sides need to kind of, and this is what we were talking about yesterday with Dabo, right? Is that
Came back and he doubled down on his, and I doubled down with his double down.
But context in what happens, in just taking one clip,
I'll see you double down. I'll raise you a triple down.
Or one sentence of something that somebody says doesn't give you the full picture of what they mean.
It's a dadgum mistake.
And that is an important thing when we're talking about what these coaches are saying.
How hard is it, though, to make one comment and have 18 different interpretations of it? From our job to any of that, I don't believe those coaches are trying to be tone deaf at all. Like, I don't believe Mike Gundy and Dabo Swinney, any of them, are trying to be tone deaf at all. I believe they live in a specific bubble that not everybody, kind of like what we'll talk about CJ and what he said about NBA players and what I've mentioned about NFL players. We all have these little tiny bubbles that we live in. And then when we let you in to that bubble and kind of pop the bubble a little bit, let you open the door, creak, creak, and just look on in there. And then you see it and you go, that's not relatable. And you get, and then the horde comes out, the mass horde. What was the movie with the horde? Gosh dang it. Beastmaster. Beastmaster? You guys seen Beastmaster? I think it was called the Jung Horde. The Jung Horde was the group that was the bad guys.
I remember the Horde in Gladiator. Yeah. It was one of the emperors released the Horde on
I think it's Beastmaster.
Maximus, but he beat
almost
them all.
Certain. And I can't remember the actor. It was great. He had a little ferret.
Yeah.
You know, a cute little ferret. But that's what I'm saying. Those Hordes, they come flying in that bubble.
Yeah. But it's tough, though, because these guys, and you've said this several times before, coaches just live in their little football world.
And they don't deviate.
And that is the definition of being tone deaf, is you don't understand that what you're saying, either when you're not attempting to do it, is something that affects people in a negative way.
Yeah.
And that's it though. I mean, it's not malicious intent.
But I'll leave this kind of, and I say this about professional athletes, but not just coaches, but for you to be a head football coach at a university, you have to be a little crazy. You have to have a little bit of obsessive compulsiveness when it comes to living in that bubble. You can't worry always about the masses.
Yeah.
If you're not like Nick Saban or Dabo Swinney or any head football coach that's like that and is there to take care of that bubble and live in that, eat, sleep, and breathe it, to Urban Meyer, to get so obsessed in it, you have to have that mentality to be successful at it. You can be an average coach and you can be a loser coach. That's when you start listening to all the naysayers and you start trying, well, I got to make Karen happy and I got to make Chad happy and I got to make Bill happy. I got to make all these other things. And you forget on what your true focus is to do everything you can to win football games in that mindset. That's why they have to be that way.
55305. That is the fan text line. We'll have a lot more on that coming up as the show goes on. Plus, NFL's all-decade team. No Russ, no Drew. A lot of local guys, though, making the cut. We'll get to that in the 7 o'clock hour. But coming up next, the best fictional sports movie of the 2000s. It's a question that has been etched in our brain since Cam laid down the gauntlet yesterday. There is not a good sports movie that is fictional since 2000. We'll go through them, Dusty and Cam, after Buck with SportsCenter.
Down here, it's our time. It's our time down here.
Every morning at 6:30, Dusty and Cam want to hear from you.
Went to the coast. We get together, have a few laughs.
Text us at 55305. I'd love to berate you.
It's time for Dusty and Cam's P1 Social.
Want me to drive?
No, I'll drive.
The time of the day where you drive the conversation.
Well, we're waiting.
Text us at 55305 and get social with us.
This is your time.
On 1080.
I'll go out there and take it.
The Fan.
55305. That's a fan text line. Yesterday was the 27th anniversary of Sandlot, 31st anniversary of Major League. And you laid down the gauntlet. No good sports movies. No great sports movies. Fictional sports movies have been made.
Side note, I just wanted to mention, I did do a little research. The Beastmaster, 1982.
Nice.
1982. It is a must watch for you fantasy people out there. Mark Singer was excellent. Tanya Roberts is excellent. It's just one of those it made me think of just He-Man and the Masters of the Universe. It's Beastmaster. It's a must watch.
I'm assuming at some point I watched it and saw it. If you know, you said 82?
1982 had an $8 million budget. This is great. He had two little ferrets. He had the ability to speak to the animals, and he was there fighting against his evil brother to try to, and that's what he has. His connection was his power to be able to see through the animals.
See, and that's the thing. Aquaman is kind of the only superhero that has that power.
Yeah. Beastmaster.
That is a great power to have in real life. Be able to talk animals and be like, hey, get out of here.
Yeah.
Reason with animals.
This film's been out since 1982, so no spoiler alert in here. There's the thing that gave me the creeps about
spoiler
it.
Spoiler alert.
Not a spoiler alert. But they drop like these little, like, you know, in the Matrix where they drop the thing in the belly button and it goes inside and gets you in there. And it's, you know, in the Matrix where they drop the, like, the tracking little squirmy thing that's crawls through. They do that in this movie, but they don't do the belly button. They do it through the ear. And they get in their ear. Ew. And they turn you into some crazy, creepy dude.
Gross.
It's awesome. Anyway, so movies.
That's super sports gross. Movies.
It's a in great
your
movie.
Ear?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's
like this alter ego worm that goes into your brain and turns you into this horde monster. It's so cool.
Gross.
Yeah.
That's really gross.
Yeah.
Okay, laying down the gauntlet. Do you still stand by your there are no great movies from fictional sports movies from the early 2000 or from 2000 on?
Yes.
Okay. This is the challenge today. Which is the best fictional sports movie of the 2000s?
Now,
since the year 2000.
Do you remember the caveats we had that I laid down?
Yes.
No sequels.
It cannot be part of a
reboot
run or reboot
franchise. It can't be part of a franchise.
That's the word I was looking for.
Yeah.
And no reboots. Yeah.
No reboots.
No reboots. So that eliminates The Longest Yard.
So we're talking
Bad
original.
News Bears.
Yeah, original script.
Okay, and it's got to be a fictional one because we've had some really good.
Yeah. Oh yes.
Really good.
True stories.
Like based on true stories. 42.
Miracle.
The Jackie Robinson Miracle is a fantastic one. Race, the Jesse Owens story, was super good.
I haven't seen Ford versus Ferrari yet, and I hear that's excellent, and I need to watch that.
Yeah, that's on my list to watch, too. I've heard
Must
that's great.
Must watch.
And then the movies like Moneyball, too, which are dramatized greatly, but, you know, come on. Seabiscuit, another one.
Yep.
The Blind Side. We're not talking those ones. And if there's one thing that the 2000s may have given us, it's not these fictional sports movies, but it is, they've given us great sports documentaries. ESPN, HBO have knocked it out of the park.
I mean,
those.
The 30 for 30 era was kind of like, you know, what if I told you that kind of reignited sports documentaries.
Well, and then we get The Last Dance.
And can I say documentaries elevate above movies?
Yeah.
When I say film and cinema, I consider that part of film and cinema, but the documentary style, the connection that it creates compared to just a movie, much better.
Yeah. So let's lay it down. 55305, best movies, fictional sports movies since 2000. I spent way too much time looking at this because it is very hard to do. But this text comes in and this is where it gets tough. It's like basketball better be on this list.
Oh.
It was made in 1998.
Yeah, sorry.
Doesn't make the cut. Varsity Blues doesn't make the cut. You know, a lot of these just are, you're sitting there and you're going,
Any Given Sunday, 1999.
Yeah, Any Given Sunday is a great movie. Really good movie. I love that one.
It's a good movie.
Hands off.
It's a good movie.
Al Pacino's speech. You didn't like Al Pacino's speech?
No, it was
An
very fabricated.
Eyeball coming. Do you think it's a fictional movie?
Right in front of your face.
Yeah, I just
it's
can't.
It's fabricated. That's the point.
I know.
That's the effing difference between living and dying.
What are you losing?
By the way, that speech took way too long for halftime. You don't have that kind of time.
It was pregame, not halftime.
No, that was halftime speech.
That was pregame.
Was it?
Yep.
Okay, maybe it was pregame.
Letting an alligator loose in the shower.
That was spectacular.
Cutting a guy's car apart with a chainsaw.
Oh, Lawrence Taylor was the best actor in that entire movie.
And Lattimore
was in it. And
I'm
not kidding you.
Lattimore was in
it.
He's back.
Lattimore was back.
Steamin' Willie Beeman. Jamie Foxx. Great.
Terrell Owens in that movie.
Terrell Owens in that movie.
And super hot Cammy Diaz.
As the owner? Why are we forgetting the most, I guess I would call it the Dan Marino?
Mm.
The lefty Dan Marino?
Yeah. Dennis Quaid.
Dennis Quaid.
Yeah.
He was great. And his wife was?
I don't remember who his wife was.
You don't remember? Swanson, Samsonite.
I don't know what her name is.
Remember they dated in real life.
Samsonite. I was way off.
So it's the same actress in Dumb and Dumber who played the hot girl that they were after.
Yeah.
That Lloyd was after. And I'm going to forget her name right now.
Well,
but I'm totally forgetting her name. She's a good actress.
See, I totally spaced that she was.
She played the wife and slapped him upside, Dennis Quaid upside. You're not quitting. I remember when I watched that movie with my wife, she's like, that's right, you're not quitting.
Remember
retired.
His name was Cap Rooney.
Yeah.
Cap. Wasn't she kind of a...
It's like, that's what you do. That's a Tiger wife. That's an NFL wife. Those NFL wives, man. You're not
taking
me out.
Wait, that's a Tiger wife? Like Tiger King?
You know, that's a Tiger wife. We call that the NFL wife, man. She's like, you're not getting me out of this league. I'm not leaving this league yet.
Lauren Hawley.
Lauren Hawley. She's striking.
Yeah, she is. She's no longer a redhead anymore. How do you feel about that?
Oh, she was in this TV show in the 90s called Picket Fences. She was really good, too.
Cool.
Smoking.
Picket Fences. All right, 55305. Got some good ones coming in. Cool Runnings, movie from the 90s, guys.
Yeah.
Best fictional sports movie since 2000.
One.
Here's a decent one. wrap your head around the Replacements. Keanu Reeves.
God, huh? So bad.
Oh, what?
Is a movie that divides people because a lot of people love that movie. I with Cam do not think it's very good.
I think it's funny.
Dreadful movie.
All right. 55305, send us on the fan text line. Do you want them to be realistic?
No, just good. Remember the criteria.
But you said that
good, great, elite.
It was like the fabricated speech by Al Pacino. You got to kind of
yeah, but I still think the movie was good. I still think the movie was good.
It was good.
It was a good movie.
All right, 55305, best fictional sports movies since 2000. Dustin Cam on the fan. All right, we're trying to figure out the best fictional sports movie from the 2000s. Can't be a part of a franchise or a reboot or remake. Really making it tough on us. What do you believe is the best one then, Mr. Cleland? Like, if you're saying that there's no great ones, what is the best one that you've seen then?
Probably, this might be, I don't think it's controversial. Probably Southpaw.
Southpaw. Isn't that based on a true story?
Is it?
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't remember. It's been a long time.
I believe Southpaw
is. Based on a so then there you go. See, wait a minute.
I don't know. That's the one with what's his name? Jake Gyllenhaal, right?
Cap Rooney?
Jake Gyllenhaal. Yeah. Is that
the Great Hope? No. No. That one is not. I was thinking of the one with Miles Teller in it, which is based on a true story. Southpaw is an original, I believe. Yeah.
Okay, and it's good. It's really good. Jake Gyllenhaal does a really good job in it.
Huh. Wow. This is not a good. This isn't a good review. It says Southpaw is a paint-by-numbers boxing drama kept afloat by good direction and ferocious Jake Gyllenhaal performance.
Well, there you go.
Gosh.
Ferocious.
Ferocious?
Ferocious Jake Gyllenhaal. Never would have used that for him, but Southpaw, going to have to watch that one. We got some text, 55305. Cinderella Man, that is based on a true story. Invincible, also
was
based on a true story.
Cinderella Man post-2000?
Yeah.
But Cinderella Man is based on a true story.
Yeah. So then that one takes it out of there.
I love Cinderella Man, but it's not original.
It's not an original fictional
screenplay or storyline, which makes that makes this all very tough.
It does. That's what I'm saying. I mean, to come up with a good script to really get outside the box and just there's not enough good, what I would say, sports writing scripts now. That everybody doesn't find any, I don't know. It's like, it's already been done. We can't do this. It's already been done. We can't do this.
What if I throw this one at you? The Wrestler, Mickey Rourke.
Sports movie, more drama.
Remember what you said on Monday, wrestling's real.
I know it's wrestling is real. I go sports movie, true sports movie. I would have to say that might qualify.
Yeah, The Wrestler is a damn good movie.
It's in the qualifications.
Okay.
It fits in there.
This text comes in. I like this movie, Love and Basketball. That's 2000.
2000. It's right on the cusp.
Yep. That's, well, it's 2000.
2000, right on the cusp. But is it for the, when I say.
Not really for dudes.
It's not really, well, I mean, if you got a soft side, I mean, if you like, a little good romantic, sportsy. I guess I compare, when we mentioned it yesterday, Sandlot, universally loved by all age groups. That's how I kind of look at when you get a really good movie. It's you could find a kid that likes it, and you could find a person that's in their 80s that like it. That's universal. Kind of like Caddyshack, or you said Major League. Mm-hmm. All those. This is Love and Basketball. I don't know if you could universally say that.
Well,
in fact, I feel pretty good about it. You're not going to say that.
It's a good one.
It's good.
See, in this. This is actually no. I will put Love and Basketball firmly in very good movie.
Very good.
Very good movie. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a very good movie. I like that movie. What The Hammer stars Adam Carolla, romantic sports comedy. My wife liked it as much as I did. I didn't see
it
either. Hardball. This text says I'm a grown man. I'm 40. Ooh, Mike Gundy. Hardball gets me every time. Have you seen that one? Another Keanu Reeves movie.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
He coaches a little league team in inner city Chicago. That movie is a tearjerker. It's a good one.
Well, you know, the more we start to think about it, Draft Day is probably in the top 10 since 2000.
Well, Million Dollar Baby. Buck brought that one up yesterday.
Excellent movie. It's not something you want to rewatch a bunch of times. It's not uplifting.
Well, that's
a great movie.
Okay, so if we put in the it's a good movie.
It was nominated for Best Picture.
It's a good movie. It's a good movie. But would you sit down and watch it with your kids and have fun with it watching it?
Well, fun is a different
right,
story.
And those are the only things. And I go, is it universally liked by everybody?
Well, you can't throw that qualifier in there because
it's not a qualifier. I'm just using my mindset of trying to say what's a good movie, what's a great movie, what's one of those that you're going to talk.
Talladega Nights.
Are you going to talk Talladega Nights? Is funny. Are you going to talk about Million Dollar Baby for decades upon decades?
Didn't it win Best Picture?
I don't know if it did. I remember if it did. It's pretty extreme. I will say that.
Yeah, I think it won some sort of Academy Awards. But okay, so then movies you can watch with everybody.
Yeah.
The Legend of Bagger Vance. Will Smith golf movie.
It's good.
What didn't you like about that?
No, it's good.
Oh. I thought that would be right up your alley. I thought I was setting you up for a golf.
Again, I don't think this is really hard for me. I'm looking for that one, like the nostalgia of it. Because these are kids, and I want to say that those that were born in the late 90s or anybody, and I don't know how many listeners we have that were born in the late 90s right now, what is that sports movie that you're going to be like, gosh, I really, that's going to be that one that carries with you. Kind of like our generation carried Major League and carried all just like Little Giants, which Buck, have you watched Little Giants yet?
I've always seen Little Giants. It was Oliver who hadn't seen it.
Oliver.
Yeah. I think if we're going this one, you have, and if that's the criteria, then we get Talladega Nights is one of those movies.
Talladega Nights is funny.
Dodgeball is one of those movies that it'll be kind of one that everybody kind of leans back on.
Yeah.
Semi-Pro with Will Ferrell and Woody Harrelson was a funny movie. But now it's like the sports comedy family. What about Cars? Throw that one in there. How about that one for
animation?
A loop?
Yeah. Animation. Whole nother criteria. It's not bad.
Blades of Glory coming in. Will Ferrell in a lot of these movies that are
Will
coming
Ferrell's
up. Chaz Michael McMichael.
Blades of Glory was pretty entertaining.
That was funny with Amy Poehler and
Talladega Nights better, but yes.
Will Arnett as the twins.
Disagree. I think Blades of Glory is better than Talladega Nights.
Huh. Well. Ricky Booby?
Ricky Booby. 55305. And this is Kingpin. When did Kingpin? I think
Kingpin
is 90s.
Way in the 90s. Fantastic movie.
If we want to go with this route, I think a lot of what is happening right now is you're looking at one, we both have an age bias here. Of the times that we grew up and the movies that we watched, but none of these movies that we're saying are standing up like Major League or The Sandlot ever will.
Well, they're not holding up. Yeah.
But I think that a lot of them, what we're talking about with our age bias put into it, it's on par with Little Giants. We think Little Giants is great because that was our wheelhouse. It was in our wheelhouse time. Now, when you get into the 2000s, you're looking at it as, will Talladega Nights, Blades of Glory, Dodgeball, Semi-Pro, will they be held up and kind of buoyed up based on the fact that people saw them at a certain age?
I know, that's a great question, too, because Happy Gilmore holds up with my boys. Love Happy Gilmore. I mean, they love that. They love all those Adam Sandler stuff, and that holds up, and that's not their generation or their era. And they watch those other movies, and they go, that just holds up. And I go, what sports movies do you want to watch? And they go, there's nothing sportsy. There's no good. And I don't know if I'm not trying to sway them to another way, but if you asked a 12 or a 13-year-old right now what their favorite sports movie is, good luck.
Yeah. I bet it's probably a movie from the 90s.
Yeah.
5-5, well, can we just say 90s then? Best fictional sports movie decade ever? Because of the fact that you can also throw Space Jam in there, Rookie of the Year, Little Big League, which are two movies we talked about last year.
Wonderful.
Or last year, yesterday. Probably last year too.
I would say the 80s knocked out the high school era. that was high school era at its peak. And then you said the 90s is the sports, kind of the sportsy comedies and all that. I think it just, I mean, every decade had its connection. I don't know what the 2000s are.
Well,
or the 2010s. I don't know what they are.
Born in 96, Talladega Nights is the best. So there's one vote.
That's fair.
There's one vote.
Yeah.
And remember, like, it also, you didn't just have comedies and family movies though in the 90s. You had college and pro ones too.
Yeah.
And more serious
Killed
ones
them.
Like Varsity Blues was funny, but that was
Necessary
more
Necessary Roughness, The Program.
The Program, Any Given Sunday, like we said. I mean, there's a lot of really good ones. Was Necessary Roughness 80s though?
No, that was 93. Necessary Roughness was 93.
Really?
Yeah, The Program was like 94-ish.
Remember when people
were Necessary Roughness might have been 91, 92, I remember.
Well, yeah, I thought it was 91. I thought it was around 91. But do you remember when people were laying in the middle of the road?
Yeah, they had to take that scene out.
They took the whole scene out of the program.
Idiots.
Whole scene gone. Poof.
Yeah, even, yeah.
55305. Oh, Tin Cup
is part of the best of the 90s, spectacular.
All right, 55305. That's the fan text sign. We'll get some more of them coming up. You guys are pulling some out of the rabbit's hat that I forgot about, like Pew and Anthony, who, you got the name of the movie wrong, but still funny movie. He says Beer Olympics. The movie Beer Fest, which is basically a Beer Olympics of it's the guys from Super Troopers. That movie, it got some good chuckles in it. We'll get some more of them coming up next hour. Plus, CJ estimates a third of the NBA players live paycheck to paycheck. How does that happen? And the NFL's all-decade team. Hot and cool next, though, on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.